The Foolishness of Materialism, an Exposition of Psalm 49 by Robert C. Newman. Materialism, or perhaps better, practical materialism, to distinguish it from philosophical materialism, is the belief that one's main goal in life is to accumulate enough wealth and power to live pleasantly. It's a very widespread belief, probably the most popular religion at all times throughout history, and not just among the rich. This view is seriously flawed, as we shall see in Psalm 49. First, we'll give a translation of the psalm with some headings of the different sections, and then we'll come back to unpack the psalm. So, first the introduction, verses 1 through 4. Hear this, all you people. Listen, all inhabitants of the world, both commoners and nobles, rich and poor together. My mouth will speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will turn my ear toward a parable. I will explain my riddle on the harp. We'll call verses 5 and 6 the problem, materialism. And the translation goes this way. Why should I fear in days of adversity when the iniquity of my enemies surrounds me? Those who trust in their power and boast in the greatness of their wealth. And then we'll call verses 7 through 20 the real situation. Surely no one can ransom his brother, nor give God his redemption, for the redemption of his soul is costly, that it should ever be paid in full, that he should live forever, not to see the grave. Indeed, even he sees that wise men die, the fool and the brute perish together, and they leave their wealth to others. Their thought is that their houses last forever, and their dwelling is from generation to generation. They name their lands after themselves. But man in his splendor will not remain. He is like the beasts which perish. This is their foolish way, yet those who come after them approve their words. Like sheep, they are appointed for the grave. Death will be their shepherd. In the morning, the upright will subdue them. But God will redeem my soul. Indeed, he will rescue me from the power of the grave. Do not be afraid when someone becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For in his death he will take nothing with him. His glory will not descend with him. Though he used to congratulate himself while he lived, and men will praise you when you do well for yourself, yet he will go down to the generation of his fathers. He will never again see the light. Man in his splendor, but without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Well, let's go back now and have a look at each of those sections and kind of unpack what's going on there. So, introduction, verses 1 through 4, the writer tells us, this psalm is for everyone, rich and poor, common and elite. Then in verse 3, its message gives insight, and by implication, comes from God. Yet, it is not commonly understood, but is to most people like a riddle or parable, verse 4. Well, that's the introduction. The problem, verses 5 and 6. The problem is that most people believe in practical materialism and so tend to live that way. And, of course, we're all easily influenced in our attitudes and actions by our social milieu, by social pressure and such. So the poor fear oppression by the wealthy and powerful, and therefore would like to be wealthy and powerful. The rich trust in their wealth and power to get through life and often use it to oppress others. This is not a new problem in our so-called modern materialistic culture. It has been a dominant force throughout history from the earliest times. All you need to do is read various histories. I've been reading Herodotus' Persian Wars here recently, and it's very, very obvious as you read through that. Attempts to solve this problem by means of social legislation in recent centuries, say the late 1700s till today, have not really worked because people are still materialists. So, that brings us to verses 7 through 20, the real situation. And here the psalmist tells us that no one is wealthy or powerful enough to buy back his life from God. We see this in verses 7 through 9. I raise the question whether verse 8b, which I've translated, the redemption of a soul is costly, that it should ever be paid in full. I wonder whether that's referring to an installment purchase of some sort, although that again sounds somewhat modern. Certainly there were many, many things paid for in installments over much of human civilization. Instead, everyone dies, wise and foolish, rich and poor, and they don't take it with them, whether it be their wealth or their power or whatever. And we see this both in verse 10. Indeed, even he, referring, I think, to the wealthy person, sees that the wise men die, the fool and the brute perish together, they leave their wealth to others. And then verse 17, for in his death he will take nothing with him, his glory will not descend with him. Not even the wealth behind will stay in the family to memorialize the person. I see this in verses 11 and 12. Their thought is that their houses last forever, and that is probably referring to their family rather than just the building. And their dwelling is from generation to generation, we'll keep going, and perhaps the idea that the property will remain in their own hands. And then they name their lands after themselves. And then verse 12 goes on to say, but man in his splendor will not remain. He's like the beasts which perish. As foolish as practical materialism is, and we see that again and again in this passage, it is considered praiseworthy and wise by most people. being wealthy is something that is a big deal in ancient society, medieval society, early modern, late modern society, huh? Yet the grave will end such glory. That comes up again and again in our passage here, verses 12, 20, 14, 17, 19, huh? Verse 19, I understand to mean, they will never again see prosperity. The actual wording is, yet he will go down to the generation of his fathers, he will be buried. He will never again see the light. Whatever he sees won't be light, won't see prosperity. The upright will dominate beyond the grave. And we see this in verse 14, where the King James think is death will rule over them in the morning. The upright will rule over them in the morning. death will be their shepherd, is the way I translated it. In the morning, the upright will subdue them. Looks a little bit more like the Hebrew there, but rule may indeed be the idea. The solution, verses 15 and 16, I did not make as a separate heading because it comes in the middle of the real situation. But here's how it reads. But God will redeem my soul. Indeed, he will rescue me from the power of the grave. So do not be afraid when someone becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. If one is a materialist, one can very much become fearful if one of your enemies becomes wealthy and you feel that person may very well then want to get back at you. Don't trust in wealth or political power. That's implied throughout the whole psalm. Don't be afraid of wealth or political power wielded by your enemies. Don't be afraid when someone becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. Instead, trust and fear God. He alone can buy back your life. He alone can, if you like, afford to redeem you from death. And then, picking up here, the two refrains passages we get in verse 12 and 20. But man in his splendor will not remain. He is like the beasts which perish. And then verse 20. Man in his splendor, but without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. So the passage is telling us very explicitly that the wealth and power that we get in this life is not guaranteed to extend beyond the grave, and what one has is going to depend very much on one's relationship to God for that whole matter. And so that's not materialism when you're depending upon God instead of depending upon the wealth and the power. We see a very striking picture of that in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man is in feasting every day in his mansion, and Lazarus, poor man, is outside covered with sores, begging, etc. And then when they die, suddenly you get a reversal. And the Lazarus, the former beggar, is in lying at Abraham's bosom, presumably is feasting with Abraham in presumably Abraham's mansion or something of that sort in heaven. And the rich man, former rich man, is outside begging, if you like. Well, that's the end of our talk, and basically a reminder that materialism is indeed foolish, because it's an example of an investment in which one invests one's whole life, and it finally goes down the drain in the end. So my advice to you and my prayer for you is that you may abandon materialism in your life, that that may not be the goal of your life, but that God may be the goal of your life, and you will never regret that as you look back on how things go. Well, thank you very much for your attention, and that's our discussion of Psalm 49 here.